For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Tuesday, May 23rd. Do you know what day it is? It's Today in Sports Betting. Hello and welcome to another exciting day on the hard court, the diamond, and the ice. As NBA and NHL playoffs heat up and work towards the finals, MLB has a full slate of games as well. I'm your host, Doug Reed, here to break all the games down, give my thoughts, my angles, my sides. If you haven't already, please follow me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. And this, as always, a Sports Ethos presentation. Check out our website at sportsethos.com if you are a fan of wagering, handicapping sports. If you're a fan of fantasy sports, if you're a fan of DFS, we've got all kinds of information, podcasts across every possible sport, individual team podcasts, higher level podcasts from fantasy, DFS, wagering, and all kinds of information, free information, and some great packages, reasonable packages. Lots going on here at Sports Ethos. A couple Twitter accounts I think are a great follow. One is just our Ethos Wagering. It's simply Ethos Wagering, E-T-H-O-S Wagering. We post the links to this pod, obviously, post the links to some plays, lots of relevant information there. And a couple of my colleagues here at Sports Ethos in the handicapping and the wagering division. One, if you're a basketball fan, you need to be following Michael Fiddle. His Twitter account is mfiddle14, so M-F-I-D-D-L-E, then the numbers 1-4. Michael is a great handicapper, one of the best out there, I believe, in breaking down the numbers. Not a fan of a team, not saying what the trend is, this guy's hot, that guy's hot. More breaking down the numbers, looking for closing line value in every bet he makes. And fantastic information from him. He has a podcast too. Check that out. Again, it's mfiddle14. Follow him on Twitter. If you're a fan of tennis, I love tennis, but I'm not much at handicapping it. Never really tried. So instead, I've been following my buddy here, Fish Fisher. His Twitter handle is fish_Fisher and then the number 4. So fish_Fisher and the number 4. Does a great job handicapping tennis on a regular basis. Been doing a good job in the last few weeks, so definitely follow him as well if you are into tennis. And without further ado, let's get into tonight's games. In the NBA, we have a big game 4 in the Boston-Miami series at Miami. The home Heat up 3-0. To me, a shocker, surprise that they're even in the Eastern Conference Finals. Not the way they played, but if you'd asked me, you know, a month and a half ago, I definitely would not have thought they're there. But they're playing fantastic on Jimmy Butler. They come in a 1.5-point favorite. Total here is 217. You can get the home Heat at minus 120 in the money line or the road Celtics at plus 100. And I'm not sure I'm on this game yet. I'm actually leaning towards the Heat to match Denver, like Denver did last night in sweeping out the Lakers, to pull this off. I'm just not sure that Boston, it's not much of a handicap. That's not why I'm not necessarily on the game, but I'm just not sure that Boston kind of hasn't packed it in. Down 3-0. It's going to be a monumental task to come back and win 4 straight. Going to have to win tonight. Then they're going to have to win 2 in Boston. But they're also going to have to go back to Miami for game 6 if they were to pull it off. So I lean towards the Heat, and laying 1.5 I think is pretty reasonable price. There are obviously a lot of people think Boston will wake up and come out, but I just think they're clearly getting out coached. Remember watching their coach after the last game, and he came out and, you know, people asked what happened. He said, "I didn't have the team prepared." And I thought that was a very odd statement. Because then Al Horford was on the mic and someone said, "Your coach just said that, you know, he took the blame because he didn't have the team prepared." And Horford just kind of laughed and shook his head a little. He's like, no, we, you know, It's not on the coach at this stage. And I agree. I mean, you can't in game, sure. But you can't say the coach just didn't have a team prepared. A bunch of pro athletes going into a kind of a must win down 2-0 in Miami. And they laid an egg. That's not on the coach for not having a team prepared. That's on the players. So an odd kind of comment, I thought, from Boston's head coach. So I like Miami to cover probably the 1.5, but not on the game yet. And baseball, huge card, as there always is on a Tuesday. 15 games, so we're going to quickly run through them. Started 6-10 in the East with Chicago White Sox in Cleveland to face the Guardians. You can get the home Guardians at -130 as a favorite, the road Chi Sox at +110. Total here is 8.5, juice to the under. Money obviously coming in the under. It's down to -115. Not sure that that's going to move. I mean, the next number is either -120. Usually see they'll move it to 8. They'll move it down as opposed to listing it at -120. On the hill for the White Sox, we have We have Dylan Cease, the righty, 52 2/3 innings, 4.78 ERA, 1.39 WHIP, 23 walks, 57 strikeouts. Not living up to the expectations of what a lot of people thought after his kind of breakout year last year. Opposing him is lefty Logan Allen. The young lefty for Cleveland, 26 2/3 innings, 1.46 WHIP, 3.04 ERA, just 8 walks and 29 strikeouts. I don't really have a feel for this game. If anything, I would lean Chicago. Cease has pitched a little better lately, and you know Cleveland's struggling at bat, and I just think could be a low scoring game. That's why it's 8.5, juice to the under. I like the ability for Cease to shut Cleveland down. Logan Allen's pitched well. You just never know. Traditionally, now the White Sox are missing Jose Abreu, their first baseman this year, but traditionally the White Sox have always done well against lefties. Cease last game pitched against Cleveland about a week ago, 6 1/3 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. In that same game, he faced Allen, who went 5 innings, 7 hits, just 1 earned run, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. So Allen clearly outpitched him. Prior to that, though, Cease had a good game against Houston, 6 innings, no runs. And I think if he's on, he has the ability to shut down Cleveland much more than Allen has the ability. So at plus money, I'd maybe lean towards the money line of Chicago, but not a game I'm on. The next game I am on, 6:35 in East, Texas Rangers in Pittsburgh to face the Pirates. You can get the Rangers as -165 money line favorites. The home Pirates +140. Total here is 8, juice to the under. So obviously at 115. So obviously a low scoring game expected. And I like the Rangers a lot. Eovaldi's been pitching really well. And Rich Hill has had a couple good games lately, but I think he is the oldest starting pitcher in the majors right now. And I'm not really a believer that he's going to continue this stretch. Now we get the stats on the pitcher. The play I'm on is on the, I got this yesterday, the Rangers money line or the run line. So -1.5 at +100. Eovaldi comes in 60 1/3 innings, 2.83 ERA, 0.99 WHIP, 10 walks, 61 strikeouts. So he's having a great year. Is he this good? I don't think so, but he's definitely an above average major league pitcher. For the Pirates, Hill is 47 1/3 innings, 3.80 ERA, 1.35 WHIP, 15 walks and 43 strikeouts. He's kind of found the fountain of youth. His last game against Detroit, 6 innings, no runs. Prior to that, against Colorado, which is a little underwhelming. 3 2/3 innings, 3 runs, with only 1 was earned. Prior to that, against the Jays, 5 1/3, 8 hits, 4 earned runs. So he's not exactly dominating, and he's not striking out guys the way he used to, at less than a strikeout per inning. So I'm not really a backer against him. And Texas's bats are on fire, especially with Corey Seager back. And Eovaldi, I just said his numbers, he's pitched very well. His last outing against Atlanta, 7 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. That's probably his worst outing of the year. Prior to that, he went 8 2/3, no runs against Oakland. 8 innings, no runs against the Angels. 9 innings, no runs against the Yankees in his three previous starts. So 3 of his 4 have been fantastic. His 1 wasn't bad. It was a quality start, but against Atlanta. I think they win with Eovaldi. I think he has the ability to shut down Pittsburgh's bats, who have kind of come back down to earth after a very hot April. So I like the Rangers to win. Can't lay -165, so I'm on the money line here tonight at +100. We'll take a quick break and then run through the rest of the diamond and hit the ice when we get back. All right, the next game, 6:40 in the East. We have the Blue Jays in Tampa for an AL East battle of worst versus first. The Blue Jays sitting in last place in AL East, which I think would put them in second in every division, but the AL Central, in which they'd actually be tied with Minnesota for first in the AL Central. Welcome to the AL East. For the Jays, they have righty Jose Berrios on the hill, and the Rays counter with young righty Taj Bradley. You can get the Rays at minus 125 on the money line. Jays plus 105. Total here is 8.5. Juice to the over at minus 115. And if anything, I would look to the Rays. The Jays have been in a free fall lately. I think they're 1-11 against the AL East in the last, obviously the last 12 games, but that's, I think, three series against AL East in the last week. Two. They got swept by the Rays or the Orioles, and I think they won 1 of 3 versus the Yanks, while just after sweeping the Braves. So been hot and cold lately. Berrios on the road. The story with him is he's always struggled. This year, 52 2/3 innings, 4.61 ERA, 1.25 WHIP, 12 walks, 52 strikeouts. Bradley, back up from the minors, I think he's made one start, 20 1/3 innings, 3.54 ERA, 4 walks, 27 strikeouts, and a 0.93 WHIP. He's done very well. At the number 8.5, obviously they expect some runs to score, and it's juiced to minus 115, so money's coming in on the over. If you'd like that number, I'd grab it before it moves to 9, which it may just before the game. I just don't trust Berrios here. The Jays' bat's got to break out, and they certainly could against the young pitcher like Bradley. But Berrios has struggled. His numbers, as I said, aren't great. They're not terrible in the season. 1.25 WHIP is not fantastic, and a 4.61 ERA isn't either. But on the season, traditionally he's done worse away from home, and he's done that again this year. So stay away from me, but I would lean to the Rays. 6:40 in the East, we have the Cardinals facing the Reds in Cincinnati. You can get the road Cardinals at minus 135 on the money line. The home Reds at plus 115. Total here in a typical Great American Ballpark game is 10.5. Juice to the under at minus 115. For St. Louis, we get veteran Adam Wainwright. A few starts in off the DL. 15 2/3. Just short of not much to go on yet this year. 5.74 ERA, 1.6 WHIP, 5 walks to 8 strikeouts. The 5 walks are a little high, but the 8 strikeouts in 15 2/3 innings are not the typical Adam Wainwright of old, so maybe he's lost a little. Graham Ashcroft, who was a fantasy darling when he first came up, a lot of people were bidding on him with their fab, has slowed down a lot recently. 48 1/3 innings, 4.84 ERA, 1.43 WHIP, 21 walks, 36 strikeouts. I like St. Louis to win this game, minus 135 in the money line. You get the home Reds at plus 115. I like St. Louis to win this game. I just don't know that I completely trust Wainwright here, the way he's been going. You know, when I look at his last, so he's had 3 starts in May against Detroit, 5 innings, 4 earned runs against Boston, 5 innings, 4 earned runs. And his last start, 5 2/3 against the Dodgers, 5 runs, but only were 2 were earned. So he's pitched acceptable, but not all that well. And Cincinnati's never an easy place to pitch. The flip side is Ashcroft, who I was talking about. His last 3 outings have been brutal. On May 7th against the White Sox, weak hitting Chicago White Sox, 1 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 8 earned runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts at Miami. Okay, at Pitcher's Park against a bad lineup. 5 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 earned, 2 walks, just 3 strikeouts. And then at Colorado, which you can forgive him for a bad outing, but this is a terrible outing. 5 innings, 10 hits, 7 runs, all earned, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. So Ashcroft is struggling. I like Cincinnati. I look to the run line, but it's actually jumped to plus money. Earlier it was minus 105, I think. So I would look here to the Cards at plus 105 on the run line. I haven't pulled the trigger that yet, but likely will. I like St. Louis. If one pitcher can figure it out, I think it's going to be Wainwright. And Ashcroft has really struggled, so I can't really be backing them. Next game, 6:40 in the East. The Phillies host the Arizona Diamondbacks. You can get the home Phillies at minus 155. The road D-backs plus 135. Total here is under 9.5, but juiced to minus 120. So this number is likely going down to 9. And I think that is because Matt Strom was announced as a starter. It was to be determined most of last night and this morning. Nelson for Arizona gets Ryan Nelson gets a start, 46 innings, 5.48 ERA, 1.48 WHIP, 15 walks and 32 strikeouts. Ryan Nelson came in with a bit of hype, not hype, but people thought he could have a decent year, and he's really struggled. And the Phillies bats with Harper back are doing much better. And I think they can get to him. On the flip side is Matt Strom starting for Phillies. Now, some people think this is going to be an opener. Well, not some people. It sounds like he's going to be an opener, and then Dylan Covey is going to come in behind him. And Dylan Covey has really struggled in his major league experience. Then he went to, China. He went and pitched there for a couple years. Now he's back. And obviously not a great pitcher, but I don't think Matt Strom is your traditional one-inning opener. I mean, he's been moved. He was starting. He started a handful of games already this year, and he's been moved to the bullpen. And that was only for a couple outings. I'm trying to pull up his numbers here. Really just one outing. He was in the bullpen in three and a third innings on May 2nd against the Dodgers. So that's his last start. But he pitched a couple games out of the bullpen, now back to the starting rotation. But earlier in the year, he was going, looking at his pitch counts, he was going 73, 60, 82, 67. So they're going to let him get up there. I wouldn't be surprised, especially if he can hold Arizona in check, if he goes three or four innings. This isn't your traditional opener. So I like the Phillies here. I can't lay 155 on the money line. And the number, if anything, I would lean to the under, but if it's at 9.5, I don't like it juiced at minus 120. If it's going to drop to 9, which it probably will, at minus 110, I'd maybe look at that. If it hits 9, then you get a push. And D-backs, bats have been doing well, but not fantastic. The run line for the Phillies is plus 130. That's probably the play. I think Strom can shut them down. The Phillies bullpen's been average, let's say, at best, inconsistent for sure. The question is, what does Dylan Covey do if he comes in behind him for three, four innings? If they only allow Strom to go one or two innings, like your traditional opener, which I don't know why they would, but I don't know why they have him in the bullpen anyways. And then Covey comes in, it's a little bit of a question mark, but if they let him pitch until he's maxed out at 60, 70 pitches, he could go three or four innings. So I think I like the Phillies here on the run line at plus 130. 7-5 in the East, another AL East battle. We have the Orioles in New York to face the Yankees. And Kyle Bradish is on the hill for the O's, and the home Yankees have their ace, Garrett Cole. They come in as minus 170 favorites. You can get the road Orioles at plus 145. Number here is 7.5. Juice to the over at minus 115. So this is probably moving up to 8. And I think I would take the over, leaning towards the over, not on it. You can get the Yankees in a run line at minus 120. Cole has been fantastic this year, 62 and two-thirds, 2.01 ERA, 1.09 WHIP. 20 walks, a little high, 68 strikeouts. Bradish, on the other hand, 32 and a third innings, 3.9 ERA, 1.3 WHIP, 10 walks, 29 strikeouts. He's been doing well, definitely serviceable, as all Baltimore pitchers, pitches better at home. And I like the Yanks here. Can't back them at minus 170, and I don't like them enough at plus 120. The story with Garrett Cole, as always, is great pitcher. You know, his 20 walks and 62 and two-thirds innings, a little high. And he hasn't so far this year, but traditionally or historically can give up the long ball. So a walk or two, a single, two-run homer, three-run homer, all of a sudden another team can put up a few runs. So I'm not necessarily thinking Baltimore is going to win, but I don't want to lay the minus 170 to the Yankees, and plus 120 in the run line is a little steep for me. 7-5 in East, we have Washington hosting Pittsburgh. The home Nats are plus 130 underdogs, and the road Padres minus 150. On the money line. Total here is 8, juiced evenly at minus 110 on both sides. You can get the Padres at plus 110 on the run line. For the Pods, you have Yu Darvish on the hill. 48 innings, 3.56 ERA, 1.13 WHIP, 16 walks and 53 strikeouts. And then young lefty Mackenzie Gore facing his old team, the San Diego Padres. 46 and a third innings, 3.69 ERA, 1.45 WHIP, 23 walks, 58 strikeouts. The story with Mackenzie Gore is control. You know, 46 and two-thirds innings and 23 walks. So he's basically walking a batter every second inning. That's always been his problem. He's got the strikeouts, 58 strikeouts and 46 in the third innings. And the Padres lineup's a little diminished without Machado there. I'm still not going to back the Nats at home. And laying 150 on the Padres in the road is too much. And just getting plus 110 in the run line, it's a stay away from me. I like the Pods. I like Darvish here. Mackenzie Gore is doing well, though. Maybe a first five under I would look to. because I think this could be a low-scoring game, but it's pretty much a stay away from me. 7:20 in the East, LA Dodgers are in Atlanta. The best and second-best teams, being the Braves the best and the Dodgers second-best in the National League, face off each other. You can get the home Braves at minus 200 and the road Dodgers at plus 170, and that is 100% built on this pitching matchup. You get the under at 8.5, juice to minus 115, so money's obviously coming in the under. And when I say the pitching matchup, it is an interesting one. Bobby Miller making his major league debut, a much heralded prospect for the Dodgers. And if you follow the Dodgers over the years, one thing they can do is develop prospects, whether it be hitting or pitching prospects. So he is, I think, probably their top pitching prospect in their organization. Didn't do well in the minors earlier this year, but his last outing, he did. So they called him up to fill in for a couple injured starters. And unfortunately, he's facing the Braves and Spencer Strider, probably the best pitcher right now in the National League. 51 and two-thirds innings for Strider, 2.96 ERA, 1.01 whip, 18 walks, and 86 strikeouts. Now, as much as I just hyped up Spencer Strider, I'm actually on the Dodgers at plus 170 on the money line. You can shop this around. I've seen it as high as plus 180. And this is a simple value play for me. Should the Braves win? Yes. Will the Braves win? Probably. But at plus 170, the Dodgers have a fantastic hitting lineup. They struggle against lefties. They're getting better against lefties. They don't struggle against righties. And Spencer Strider is a great pitcher. He's going to be able to strike out bats. He's going to be able to strike out any team. But if they can get to him, get some guys on base, get a long ball here or there, and Miller can do anything to limit Atlanta, all of a sudden, you know, late in the game, we get into the bullpens and the Dodgers are in play. So at a plus 170, I'm willing to take that chance. Again, I think the Braves probably win, but you're getting a plus 170 on the second best team in the National League. I think the fifth or sixth overall best team in the majors with not a prolific offense, but a very strong offense. And you're giving me plus 170. I'm taking the Dodgers. Unfortunately, you know, if Strider wasn't, if any other pitcher in the Braves rotation, especially some of their weaker links right now because of injuries, this would probably be about a minus 120 for the Braves, maybe even minus 110. So I'm on the Dodgers at plus 170. 7:04 in the East, we have the Cubs hosting the New York Mets. Minus 110 on both sides. This is a coin flip game, a pick'em game. The total here is 8, juice to the over at minus 115. Some money's been coming in on the over. For the, just trying to pull this game up. Where are we here? Sorry. For the Mets, we have righty Cody Senga on the hill and Drew Smyly, the lefty for the Cubbies. Senga, 43 innings this year, 3.77 ERA, 1.44 whip, 26 walks, 55 strikeouts. So his ghost gyro pitch, what do they call it? His ghost fork pitch. He's getting the whiffs for sure, 55 strikeouts. 26 walks is a little too many walks, though, hence his 1.44 whip. So he's been very hot and cold and inconsistent. Drew Smyly, on the other hand, has even found more of a fountain of youth than Rich Hill. 15 to third innings, 2.86 ERA, 0.93 whip, 10 walks, 46 strikeouts. So if anything, you know, the Mets were struggling. They won until last week when they won five straight games to actually show they're still alive with Verlander and Scherzer winning both ends of a doubleheader, which I think I heard was the first time ever that two pitchers for the same team both have three Cy Young awards have pitched and won in a doubleheader, and they did it. One of those useless bits of trivia that I often drop here, but interesting nonetheless. But the Mets were struggling. 1-5 straight. Have they broken out? I'm not sure. Smiley's on the bump. I lean towards Smyly at minus 110. I'm not on this game, but I lean toward the Cubs. You can get the Mets on the run line at plus 150. I'm not going to touch that. If Senga's off at all and Smiley's on, or even a respectable semblance of what he's been doing this year, I would lean towards the Cubs. I think heard wind was blowing in. That's probably why the total is only at 8 in Chicago. Oftentimes, even it's at 7.5 when the wind is blowing in. But a low-scoring game expected. 7:40 in the East, we have the Twins hosting San Francisco Giants. You can get the home Twins at minus 155. The road Giants at plus 135. Total here is 8, juice to the under at minus 115. And what is going on here? One second. My board is glitching here. On the bump where are they? on the hill for the Giants is Alex Cobb, and the Twins send Sonny Gray to the hill. You can get the home Twins at -155 in the money line. The road Giants +135, total eight, as I said. And with Sonny Gray, obviously he's the big factor here on the season. 49 and a third innings, 1.64 ERA, 1.16 whip, 19 walks, 60 strikeouts. Got to be in contention right now with Garrett Cole, maybe a couple of Shane McClanahan for the AL Cy Young. The question with Sonny Gray always is, can he last the whole year? I don't think he lasts at these numbers, but can he make it through 30-plus starts? On the flip side, Alex Cobb for the Giants, 51 innings, 1.94 ERA, 1.35 whip, 13 walks, 44 strikeouts. I'm not necessarily buying that Cobb's the ace that he's looked to be, although he has done well. In his last three of his last five starts, he hasn't given up a run. In all of those starts, he went over seven innings. But in the two that he didn't, he got hit hard at San Diego and hit pretty hard by Philadelphia last week. So good. He's been good. Obviously, his numbers have shown that he's had a good year. And Minnesota bats are not doing all that well. Cobb, on the other hand, has only given up in his last, two, four, six starts. He's given up more than two runs just once. And that was at Cleveland, which is surprising because they're a fairly weak hitting team. The thing with Cobb, though, is they're letting him get, with Sonny Gray, they're letting him get up into the 90s. He's thrown over 90 pitches in every one of his last five starts, with one of them going over 100. But he's not going deep in games. You know, his last four innings, 5.1, five innings, six, did go seven innings against the Yankees. And I think that's, 19 walks and 49 to third innings is probably a few too high. But he's getting the strikeouts, throws, throwing a lot of pitches. The question is the fact is he's not going that deep in games. Now, I still like the Twins here. You can get them on the run line at +145, but the total here is eight, and it looks like it's moving down. The Twins' offense struggles, and I don't see them putting up a lot of runs. So I'm not one to bet a run line when a total is at eight or under. It's just too risky. That means the Twins have to win by two runs in a low-scoring game. So if this total is at eight or under eight, you know, is this a 5-3 game? Is this a 4-3 game, 3-2 game? Who knows? But at a low number, it's hard to take not just a run line, but as I've said before on the show, it's hard to take a run line of a home team. So if the Twins are to win, for you to cash the run line for the Twins, -1.5, they need to win by two in a low-scoring game. If they win in regulation, so in nine innings, they only get eight at-bats. Giants are getting nine at-bats, top of the ninth. Minnesota's winning. They're not coming up to the last at-bat. So they're getting one less at-bat, low total expected, and they have to win by two. Hence why it's probably juiced all the way up to +145. I like the Twins to win, but I don't like them there, and I can't take the run line for a home team in a low-scoring game. 740 in the East. We have Houston in Milwaukee to face the Brewers. And Houston comes in as the favorites, -130 on the money line, and the Brew Crew +110. Now, I got this on an early line yesterday. I'm going to do a show soon about closing line value in baseball, but lines usually for the next day's game come out around noon. So today's games would have come out around noon yesterday. And I got this when the Brewers starter was still TBD, and it was -110 on both sides. So I actually got the Astros at -110. I would play the Astros at -115, maybe -120. I wouldn't go to the -130 right now I'm seeing on DraftKings. Total here is 9.5. Juice both ways at -110. And you can get the Astros at +120 on the run line. Now, J.P. France starts for Houston. I think he's got three starts. 15 to third innings, 4.11 ERA, 1.24 whip, four walks, 10 strikeouts. He's been good, not great, but he does have a very good offense behind him. Colin Ray, on the other hand, for Milwaukee, has really struggled. 31 innings, 5.52 ERA, 2.29 whip, 13 walks, and 25 strikeouts. Now, when I pull up his most recent starts, I think Houston has the ability to get to him and get to him early. So in his last few starts against Kansas City, a weak hitting offense last week, 3 2/3 innings, six hits, four earned runs, two walks, three strikeouts. Prior to that, at San Francisco, pitcher's park against a weak hitting team, six innings, four hits, three earned runs, a walk, and four strikeouts. He gave up a home run in that game and a home run the previous game. Prior to that, against the Angels at home, five innings, three hits, two earned runs, a walk, did have 9 strikeouts and 2 home runs. So he's been giving up a little more than a home run a game, which is acceptable. Hasn't been going deep into the games. It seems to be limited at about 90. Hasn't gone over 89 pitches yet. And I think he's struggling. He's not looking too solid. And Houston's offense is the difference here for me. Now, France hasn't been exactly lights out either in his young career. He got rocked by the Cubs last week, 3 2/3 inning, 9 hits, 6 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. Prior to that, in 6 2/3, he held at Chicago White Sox just a 1 run, and at Seattle, 5 innings, held them to 0 runs. So not great offenses, but he has held them down. And the Brewers are a good offense, decent offense for sure. I just like Houston. I think Houston has a better starter here. They have a much better lineup, and the bullpens we can kind of call a wash. So I was on the Astros at minus 110. I played anything up to minus 120. 7:40 in the East, we have Kansas City hosting Detroit. You can get Detroit on the money line at minus 145 and the home Royals at plus 125. Total here juice to the under at minus 115. Sorry, total here is 9 juice to the under at minus 115. And the Tigers are the favorites, which you don't often get, especially when they're on the road, because they have, who is now their ace, lefty Eduardo Rodriguez on the hill. 56 2/3 innings, 2.06 ERA, 0.86 whip, 12 walks, 52 strikeouts. He's been having a great year. I've never been a believer in Eduardo Rodriguez, but he's starting to change my mind. He has looked really solid this year. And Mike Myers is pretty sure going to be an opener. He's pitched just 2.2 innings this year, so kind of irrelevant to really get into his stats. Don't like either offense, and I'm looking at the Tigers' run line at plus 105. Total here is 9, so a fair bit of runs to be scored. Now, just rewind back to when I said I didn't want to take the Twins on the run line. Total was 8. They were the home team, low-scoring game. They don't get that ninth at bat. Detroit here, total is 9, so a little higher than average, if we're going to call 8.5 average. So runs are expected to be scored, and they're the road team, so they get the ninth at bat. Now, this run line is only plus 105. If it were juiced to 110, 115, I'd be all over it. But at 105, I'm going to look at it, maybe wait and see close to game time. But if anything, I would lean towards the run line there. 8:40 in the East, we have Miami in the launching pad of Colorado to face the Rockies. The road Marlins are oddly the favorite at minus 120. The home Rockies plus 100. Total here is a Colorado staple at 11.5, juice to the under actually at minus 120. So the next line there is going up to 12, I would think. And for the Fish, we have Yuri Perez, the young righty on the hill, just 9 2/3 innings, 2.79 ERA, 1.03 whip, 3 walks, 13 strikeouts. So this monster of a man is doing well and in his first couple starts in the majors. And straight up, I would take him over Austin Gomber, but it's in Colorado, so you never know. Gomber comes in 44 and a third inning, 6.70 ERA, 1.53 whips, 18 walks, and 29 strikeouts. And I'm just pulling up his game logs. He has been bad this year. He's been bad at home, but his last couple outings have been a little, well, not his last one, but prior to that, he seemed to kind of figure things out a little. His last outing was at Cincinnati, so the second best launching pad in the majors. 4 1/3 innings, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. Terrible outing. Prior to that, that was at home against Cincinnati. Prior to that, at home against Philly, 6 2/3, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, no walks, and 6 strikeouts. That's a quality start and an impressive one against the Phillies at home. Prior to that, at the Mets, 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 walks, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Another quality start, and that's an impressive game. Prior to that, against Arizona, 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. At Cleveland, 5 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 3 walks and 3 strikeouts. So he's been walking a few too many guys, hasn't been striking out a lot. But in 4 of his last 5 outings, prior to the most recent one at home against Cincinnati, he's looked a lot better. And I would actually lean towards, I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but I would actually lean towards Colorado catching the plus 100. Perez has looked great. He's a great prospect. He's pitched 2 games. He's done well. They were against Cincinnati at home and against Washington at home. So in a pitcher-friendly park against 2 struggling offenses, I'm not saying the Rockies' offense is any better. At home, they're always better. They're probably better than Cincinnati or Washington's when they're at home, Colorado is. And with a high total here, this game is anyone's guess. I could see Gomber pitching well and Perez getting knocked around a little in his first trip to Coors Field. So not on it yet. Plus 100 is decent. If it creeps up to plus 110, I would be all over the Rockies. Second last game of the night, 9:38 in the East. Boston is traveling to L.A. to face the Angels. You can get the Red Sox as the favorite at minus 115, home Angels minus 105. Total here is 9.5. Juice to the under 9 at minus 120. So likely going, money's been coming in on the under, likely going down to 9 shortly. This game's a stay away from me. The Sox send righty Brian Bello to the hill, 28 and a third innings, 4.45 ERA, 1.59 whip, 12 walks and 31 strikeouts, which is impressive for a young pitcher, just over a strikeout inning. Griffin Canning, the righty for the Angels, 29 to third innings, 6.14 ERA, 1.5 whip, 11 walks and 25 strikeouts. Now, Griffin Canning is not the pitcher that he – well, not that he was ever a headline pitcher. But a couple years ago, he certainly showed some prospect pedigree. And I think that luster has kind of come off. In his last few outings at Baltimore, 5 1/3 innings, three earned runs. Against Houston at home, 3 2/3 innings, 5 earned runs. At St. Louis, 5 innings, 5 earned runs. Prior to that, against Oakland at home, 5 innings, 3 earned runs. So he has not been pitching well, not been getting the strikeouts that he was earlier in his career. He's got one game, that game against Oakland, he had 7. Other than that, he hasn't got the 4 strikeouts. They seem to be limiting. He did have a 100-pitch outing earlier, but other than that, he hasn't gotten over 88 pitches in any start. So I would lean the Sox here. The thing with the Sox is their bats were really hot when they were at home a week and a half ago. Then they went on the road, and they've kind of slowed down. And I don't think that's a function of being away from Fenway. I just think that's a function of major league variance. You have, you hit well for a week or two, and then you don't hit well for a week or two. I don't really like laying the minus 115 with the Sox here. So, and the run line is plus 140. I can't do that. I like Bello's been pitching well, but I'm not really sure I could back him. Last game of the night is in Seattle. And we have the home Mariners at minus 210 on the money line. The road A's at plus 180. Total here is 9, juice to the under at minus 120. Some money obviously coming in on the under, expecting a low-scoring game. And for Oakland, they have Luis Medina on the hill, 17 innings, 6.88 ERA, 1.24 whip, 5 walks, 15 strikeouts, has not done well to start the year. And Marco Gonzalez, the veteran lefty, is on the hill. 38 and a third innings, 6.1 ERA, 1.59 whip, 14 walks, 26 strikeouts. He obviously has not done well either. And I don't really have a side. I can't take, I don't think I've ever taken a minus 200 plus favorite. So minus 210, I can't take the M's. On the run line, they're minus 110. Again, a home team. Total's 9, so it's expecting to be a little higher scoring game. Home team, they're not getting that 8th at bat if they win. I just don't really like them laying that money at minus 110, laying a negative price on a run line is not something that I really want to back. So that's the 15 games in the majors. I like Houston on the money line at minus 110. I got that yesterday. It is up to about minus 130. I would play it to minus 110, minus 120. I like the Dodgers, the value at plus 170, plus 180, wherever you can get that. And I like Texas on the run line at an even plus 100. On to the ice, and we have the Western Conference Finals, where the Vegas Golden Knights head to Dallas, up 2-0. Surprising for me. They won the last game in overtime, but I actually like Dallas to win this series. And I can't say I still like them to win this series because they're down 2, but I think they are the better team, and heading home will certainly help. Well, my watch is talking to me what she found on the web. Sorry about that. You can get the home Dallas Stars at minus 145. You can get the Knights at plus 125 on the money line. Total here is 5.5, minus 110 on both sides. And the puck line, you can get the Stars at minus 1.5, so they need to win by 2 at plus 170. I'm not going to touch that. I think this is a close game right down to the end, maybe even going into overtime. What I did get on DraftKings, so I like the Stars, but not minus 145. What I did get on DraftKings was a 25% profit boost. You can pick either side, and I like the Stars, so I did that, and it got me up to minus 116. So I'm on the Stars at minus 116 using the DraftKings profit boost. If you're just going straight, I would stay away. I lean the Stars, but I don't like laying 145 on the money line. Oh, lots of baseball wrapped on the front by some NBA basketball, and do the Heat wrap this series up? I lean that they do and head to Denver to play the Nuggets for the championship. And do the Stars get back in the series, or do they let Vegas get up 3-0? Will be an interesting night. So some takes, some leans, some picks. Hopefully you enjoyed the analysis. Hopefully you got some good ideas on where you're going. Hopefully you can make some money. We can all make some money. I can make some money, and we can have a good day in sports betting.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.